Let's go ahead and have a little recap on what the last few Sundays have been with our Advent candles. Just if you can remember the first Sunday that we lit the Advent candle, we saw that the candle was one of hope, and we expected good things to happen, and we expected good things to be right around the corner, if you remember. Last Sunday, we talked about how Jesus is the way, and we mentioned how the way is that of humility. And this Sunday, you've already heard it a few times, the pink candle, the Bards family was so excited to be able to light that pink candle, is one of joy. And we talk about what exactly does it mean when we speak of joy. And Terry touched upon it with the children's sermon a little bit. Can you think back on experiences of happiness that you've had in your life, right? And we're going to make a distinction today between happiness and joy. And Dave just changed. David, it's so good to see you in the choir room. I hardly recognize you. The Broncoma family this past week had an experience of happiness, and I want to show you a little clip, a little video clip on what it looked like.
Hey!
Just for fun.
All right, you can turn that off.
Ellie?
Can turn
all day,
off.
Ellie?
Poor pastor's kids, right? They have no open book for everyone. But are we able to identify moments in our lives when that joy kind of lasts forever? We know that's kind of a momentary happiness, something that is very intense and very, it fills your heart. But at the same time, are we able to identify experiences of joy that will last for years, even last for an entire lifetime? And just so that we're on the same page, joy isn't happiness. It's not something that is subject to our moods. It's not something that's subject to our life circumstances. Joy isn't a feeling. It's something deeper. It's far more fundamental. It's at the core. It's at the center of our being. Jesus, we're going to find out today, is our joy. So let's invite Julia back on up. I have a microphone for you here. The last 2 weeks we have seen Julia and we've learned more about her. And today we're going to learn a little bit more as well. She's probably looking forward to next week, I'm guessing. So Julia, just a question for you. Do you have any pets? Do you have any pets?
Yeah, four dogs.
Let me turn that back up for you. Oh, it was on. There, my bad. Okay. Go ahead.
Four dogs.
I'm sorry, what? I thought you said four dogs.
Yeah, four
you
dogs.
Have four dogs. Okay.
Yeah, four dogs, all right. Three fish, a horse, and a cat.
Nice, nice. Noah's Ark. Wonderful. So if you could choose, and it doesn't have to be one of the pets that you currently have, but if you could choose any animal at all, what's your absolute favorite animal?
Probably like a horse. Because like I really like horses.
You like your horse. And do you ride the horse that you have?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. All right. And if you could be an animal, which animal would you choose to be?
Probably some kind of like aquatic animal because I really like to swim.
Aquatic. So just their vocabulary is a little. So that means something that's in the water, right? Okay. Good. Thank you. Smart kid. Have you ever been in a barn before?
Yes.
Yeah. Silly question. I know that. So describe it for them. Some of us city folks, we've never seen a barn before. So go ahead and describe a little bit. What does a barn look like?
Well, there's many different types of barns. It could be a barn that can contain animals, crops, like equipment, anything like that.
Okay. Okay. Everyone say bye, Julia. See you next week. Thanks, Julia. Appreciate it. Oh, it is related somehow, I am sure. And what we find today is that story in the scripture where the shepherds visit the newborn babe. And there's something, isn't there something about getting ready for Christmas that there's a whole different type of atmosphere, and that atmosphere is permeated with happiness. It's a time whenever you look around you, even the houses and the trees and the burrow and the church is decorated, and the lights twinkle and they smile at you. And it's a time of the year when we know that there's something different. Everyone just seems to be in a better mood this time of year. When you were a kid, do you remember some things that you did every year? Maybe you lit the Advent candle before dinner every night, or you woke up early to see what was next in that Advent calendar. What were some of the memories you had? There's something festive and contagious about this time of year, and it's only seen in this time of year. And it can be seen everywhere. And I wish I could call it joy, but I can't, because it would need to last forever. What joy is all about is something that never, ever disappears. It's something that can't be taken from us, no matter what circumstance we may find ourselves in. And today we're going to find and read about a group of people who that first Christmas day, was they were able to keep their joy forever. And not only on Christmas morning, but even after everything was put away, they were able to go back to their everyday life, their humdrum life, and still had that joy of Christ. Wouldn't that be great? After this season, to still have that same sense of joy. Allowing your joy to last forever, because we recognize that our joy is not based on the season, but upon the fact that Jesus Christ has been revealed to us and is a part of our lives forever. That's what we're going to find out. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. You'll notice I skipped verses 1 through 7. We're going to be seeing those Christmas Eve. That's the real account of the birth. This is what happens after the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph. And they saw the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a time when I used to get weekly diaries from a Palestinian Christian who who lived in Bethlehem. And it's amazing that the different type of Advent that they have in Bethlehem, in that region of the world, a region of the world where in the place of Christmas carols and laughter and joy, You can hear sounds of bullets and bombs going off. Now Bethlehem has not traditionally been a place of unrest because there's such high tourist traffic, but over the years you have seen more and more violence and more disturbances that take place in that city. I remember back in the late 90s visiting Bethlehem. It was a safe time to visit at that time. And I was amazed at how difficult it was to get into the city geographically. I mean, it was on top of this rocky hill, and there were, it was absolutely barren. And I just thought of Mary and Joseph making their way up to Bethlehem, and how difficult it would have been for them to make that trip, especially Mary in the condition that she was in. And all around the city there are these craggy boulders and open fields and tufts of grass growing here and there. And as we were standing, and some of us were sitting on that open field, sure enough, some sheep began to come by and were grazing. And as the sun set on the hillside, I thought, you know, it could have been exactly here. It could have been this place specifically where the angels came to the shepherds with the good news of great joy. And the Christians in Bethlehem have toyed with the idea of decorating their trees with strings of bullets because they litter the ground just to fit in with what was happening around them. But in his diary, he said, "We noticed something unusual. Even though happiness was not a part of their celebration, there weren't kids laughing in the streets, and the mood was generally one of mourning, yet they realized this intense need to celebrate Christmas. They were not going to call it off. That was just something they could not do as a part of who they were. They knew they had to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the death and the destruction that was around them. This was the joy, they said, that cannot be taken from you." This little town of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born and that we read about in Luke, isn't still these days. And yet this joy remains in Bethlehem, and they would never cancel Christmas because it is far deeper than the celebrations that we see around us, even within this sanctuary. The joy of Christmas that they feel in Bethlehem is based upon the birth of their Savior that caused them where they are, even in the midst of the darkness of the world. So here we find ourselves in a completely different context, in a completely different side of this world, where we feel fairly safe, not perfectly safe, right? It's a scary time in the life in the world for us. It's a time where we're a little unsure about what's happening around us, and yet you feel pretty safe in here, right? The lights and the flowers and the candles, it reminds us, and it's easier for us to see Christmas right here where we are, and to think of the happiness and the joy that is always associated with Christmas. But how can we make sure that it doesn't just become happiness that comes and goes depending upon our mood and depending upon the season? When Christmas is over, does it have to lose its luster? Maybe we can just keep the decorations up the whole year long, right? That'll make us feel warm. The joy of expecting the Christ child that we are to experience during this Advent season, is it then going to be drowned out when another event happens in our life that isn't so happy? If our joy is in Christ, then nothing should be able to celebrate us from the love and the joy that we have in Him. Think about that first evening. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke. Think about that first evening. It must have been unseasonably warm that December. And I'm sticking with the story that Jesus was born December 25th. The Bible doesn't say what day, but why not? Since we don't know, let's just go with it. Why not? Unseasonably warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Are we there or what? Crazy. But the shepherds were able to take their sheep out of the fold, and in December, normally they would be penned up for the winter. There were a handful of shepherds out on the fields with their flocks. Some were sleeping, others were talking about their day's adventures. Others were probably finishing their dinner, and then all of a sudden, if you find in Scripture, if you see what happens in verse 9, we find all of a sudden the sky is filled with light. A light that is so bright that they had to hide their faces from it, because after all, the Scripture tells us in verse 9 that it was the glory of the Lord. You're not supposed to be able to see the glory of the Lord directly, right? It was that bright. And then a voice spoke to them. And it was a messenger of God and an angel of the Lord who told them, as Luke states, the good news of a great joy for all the people. Do you see where that takes place? Verse 10. If you go ahead and look at verse 10. The good news of a great joy for all the people. That's going to be the formula that we're going to be following through in this sermon. 3 points. Good Presbyterian sermon with 3 points. The good news of a great joy for all the people. All right, so let's go ahead and follow through. Jesus, we find the angel saying, the birth of Jesus, and Jesus himself is the good news of a great joy for all the people. What a message. Good news. What better news can we receive than that a Savior is born, one who is Lord and one who will rule over our lives if we so choose to have him rule over our lives. So that word in Greek, good news, it's one word, it's not two word in the Greek, it's euangelion. And it's the word that we also use when we say gospel. Okay, gospel is the same word as euangelion, which means in English, good news. So here's the gospel message. Here's the good news. A Savior is born. That's what we hear the angels telling these shepherds, this good news. Think of the news that we get, right? I mean, how many channels are dedicated just to news? Dozens of channels that you can watch 24 hours a day with news. And then if you get tired of that, you can jump in your car and there's another dozen or so radio stations that give you news as well. But what are the news? What kind of news normally sells the best? And what kind of news do we normally hear on TV or on the radio? What is it? It's not good news, is it, right? It's bad news. Thanks, David. That was right on cue. It is bad news, isn't it? Good news doesn't sell. But what the angel comes and what the Scripture very specifically says, which I love that detail. Remember, we talked about Luke and all the details that he gives us that none of the other gospel writers give us. This is good news. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, that evening, the shepherds received the good news that Jesus is born from the anchorman, the angel, from God's anchorman. How great that must have been to receive that good news and to be told directly from God instead of the normal chatter that was surrounding them. So that's the first thing, is the good news. So what is the good news? The good news is this great joy. This is the analysis of the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ is considered a great joy. And from this time on, everything that happens has to be compared with the joy that Christ brings to the people. And from now on, our joy will have at its beginning and at its end, Jesus himself. It's not just joy, by the way. Did you notice that? It's not just joy, it's great joy. It's abundant joy. It's everlasting joy. This is the good news that we don't have to base our joy depending upon what's happening in our family. or what's happening in our jobs, or what's happening in our love life, or what's happening with our health, or what's happening with our money, or praise God, what's happening in politics, right? We don't need to base our joy on those things. Our joy is dependent on one thing and one thing alone, and that is Jesus. That's what the angels tell the shepherds. If He is born into our hearts, then His joy will remain with us forever. It never dissipates and it never disappears. Did you notice good news of great joy? Who's able to receive that? Third point. Who's able to receive this good news of great joy? Verse 10. Who? All the people. Everyone. That wasn't a trick question. It wasn't even rhetorical. You're supposed to answer those. So no longer is it a certain race. It's not just the Jewish people. It's not just those from Abraham. But all people can live in the joy of the salvation of Christ. That's a radical change. That's a huge departure from what it had been in that first century. It had been just one group of people were God's chosen people. Folks, do you see the change? All people are able to receive this good news of great joy. There's no distinction. Paul tells us that as well. The good news is just getting better and better. And as proof of this, as proof that good news is for all people, God sends the angel at birth not to Mary, not to Joseph, not to the wise men, not to any of the spiritual leaders, but did you notice who actually got to see the angel and hear the angel's voice after Jesus was born? These lowly shepherds, right? You've heard that part of the Christmas story over and over, and pastors telling you, look who God has chosen. But it's true. Nobody is left out of the gospel message. The Savior was born for all people. And this is great joy for all. One aspect of the good news that we find is that if you look at verse 11, to whom is this Savior born? You know, in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah, the Messiah, where it says, unto whom a child is born? Unto whom? Unto us, right? Sorry, you're right for the first one. I'll come back to you. Unto us a child is born, right? This collective understanding that God so loved, not you, that God so loved the world, right? There's that collective understanding that God loves us, which is great, which is really at the core of our Presbyterian beliefs as well, that it is within the community that the Holy Spirit is able to work the best. This verse is different. You notice that in verse 10, or rather verse 11. No, let's go back. Yeah, verse 11. First words, to you is born this day. So the angel saying that to that little shepherd boy, to you, specifically you, is born this day. Not the traditional Isaiah verse that says unto us. That would have made it more communal. But this makes it personal now all of a sudden. Unto you, blue-collar worker. Unto you, single mother. Unto you, young girl. Unto you, retired woman. Unto you. And then you can insert your name there. Unto you is born this day a Savior. For you. The angel makes it so personal, and why do you have to do that? Isn't it easier if we're just gathered as a group, then no one's really held responsible, right? No. I love to hear the fact that my Savior is born for me, personally. The good news of great joy is personal, and we're able to personally share in the joy of Christ our Savior. Salvation has come to you as an individual. Hear that for yourself, sitting in the pew today. Christ our joy came into this world not only to save the world, but to save you. And when Christ enters your life, when Christ already accepted you on that Christmas morning, that's when your joy was born. And with the birth of Christ, all of the good news, all of the joy is now not focused on what's happening around us, but is focused on Jesus. And during Advent, as we build this momentum until Christmas Day, when joy explodes out and showers the earth with the good news that a Savior is born to you. You know, the shepherds, if you notice, as they make their way home at the end of these verses, they're able to keep the joy. And that's the hardest hurdle to jump, isn't it? Keeping the joy once that occasion is over. Getting back into the normal routine of life once the excitement is past sometimes robs us of that joy that we so love. And if you have found in your life that joy has been lost, then maybe our joy is based upon more the things around us and more what's happening to us and not upon the one who is within us, Jesus our Savior. I pray that you'll be able to go out and live joyfully, not because of the decorations, which we love, which I'm not talking bad about, which should add to our joy, but primarily because Jesus has come into the world, into our hearts as well. Amen. Loving God, we do give you thanks and praise because you have given us great joy. You have given us the type of joy that can never disappear. And the type of joy that no one can ever take from us, no matter what the circumstance. So watch over us and keep us. And help us to know that you have claimed us, each one by name. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.